Good day and welcome to another edition of The Front Page on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Chuck Moraz. We're joined by Morehead Mayor Jim Tom Trent on the show as we talk about city business. And as always, welcome, Mayor Trent.
Well, good to be here, Chuck. Good to be here.
Let's talk a little bit about the 2016 General Assembly session. I know there are issues that city governments are very concerned about in particular, and I know that we've talked about pensions and things like that. What things are you watching?
Well, of course, pensions are going to affect anybody who has their retirement system through the state at whatever level, whether it's with university, they have theirs through a certain system. We have ours through a certain system, and school system, and so on and so forth. So we're definitely looking at that. And the main thing is they set when they sit down there talking about the state, when they set the investment levels and what they think that they're going to the return level is going to be, it never quite meets that. So there's always a gap there, and unfortunately, it's something that needs to be looked at very carefully. Hopefully, they'll have that worked out. That's one of the things we're looking at because that affects our retirees that are going to be coming up for retirement soon, and affects everybody who just started and who wants to have a retirement. The second thing that we're looking at is the lift tax, the local local sales tax that can be voted on by the citizens for specific projects. And that's one thing we've talked about on here before. And hopefully it'll gain more traction this year and have a chance to actually get through both houses. That's our hope.
Have you had a chance to talk to some state legislators? I know we have a Republican state senator now, and Steve West, and of course, Democrat Rocky Atkins is the House Majority Leader from Morehead. So you've had a chance, I guess, to talk to both sides. Are you getting any kind of a feeling from the two of them about the lift tax?
Going into it, of course, Rocky is a proponent of it. He sees that it's all the benefits that can help. It's perfect for Arkansas community and Sandy Hook and the other places that he represents. Steve West, being still relatively new, he's actually up for reelection. He'll be on the ballot again for this fall. And he and I talked for a while about it, and I tried to tell him the importance of that and how it could really benefit what we're trying to do here long term. And he didn't disagree with that. He said he was going to get more information, but he seemed receptive, and I thought that was good. So at least initially going in, it seems like we've got two proponents there who are going to actually try to help us in that avenue. Whether that happens or not, you know, when you get in there and get in the trenches, sometimes deals are made, and you know, you have to take this in order to get this, give this up in order to get that. So with it just being started this week, it's probably too early to tell, but I'm going to make it my point to at least talk to them every couple of weeks during the session to see where we are on some of those issues.
To recap for people who don't quite understand what the lift tax is, basically it allows local governments to ask their local taxpayers to cast ballots on whether or not they'd like to raise the sales tax locally by 1%. And that money could only be used for a specific project, i.e. in Morehead, let's say if we wanted to build the recreation park, that would be a good example there. But once the recreation park is built
and
paid off, that tax would disappear.
Yeah, it has a sunset provision. The three main things I think are important, we think, as a city in talking about this and trying to promote this for our state to pass, is that, number one, it's left up to the individual taxpayers, left up to your local voters. Number two, it's capped at 1%. And number three, there's a sunset provision. The sunset provision is key because, as we all have had long-term municipal projects in the past where they raised the tax to do this, and that might have been 30, 40 years ago, and that tax may still be on the books. Now, they may have used it for something else, but in this particular case, let's say that we wanted to build a water park, for example, and the water park cost $3 million, and it took us 15 years to pay that off or whatever. And let's say at the end of 15 years, once it's paid off, then if it was 0.5% or up to 1%, then that would come off. We could then go to the voters again and say, do you want to use it for something else? but it wouldn't automatically roll over. And I think that's the key for people to know that. Now, there are some people who are against it for various reasons, but the most of the people that I've talked to and most people in the meetings I've been with, whether it's Gateway Ad, which is our five gateway counties, or whether it's with meetings with our EDC, with meetings with Rocky and Steve West, most of the people that I have talked to really want this. As a matter of fact, we've gone out and as the Gateway Ad, we've signed and sent out our letter of backing for this. So I know most of the people in our position, in our size towns and cities and communities, are for this. I believe the latest count was 40 out of the 50 states already have this. I think it was 38 last year. I think two have added it. So, you know, we don't want to do it just because everybody else is doing it, but we want to do it because it seems to be working for everybody else.
I was
going to
say, it also sounds like Kentucky is behind the curve on this.
We are. But again, this is something that is a hot topic, and hopefully we'll be getting some positive reports from Frankfurt.
I'll be the first to admit I'm very conservative when it comes to fiscal issues, and I'm not a big guy in terms of adding more taxes. But at the same time, when I look at this tax, most taxes are determined by some sort of a legislative body, whether it's the Congress at the federal level, whether it's the state legislature here in Kentucky, or perhaps county government or city government. They determine whether or not there's a tax or whether there's an increase in the tax. The lift tax to me seems to be the fairest tax in the sense that the local voters actually have a ballot box say on whether they want to be taxed, and they can say no if they want to say no.
That's right. And most of the time when of course, we've been very fortunate. In my administration here, this 1 year, we've not had to raise taxes for anything in particular. But, you know, there will come a time, I'm sure, in the near future, whether it's by need or want, that will be heavily considered to do that. And when that happens, I wouldn't take that lightly. And I would take the fact that, you know, I really want to have the input of the citizens, which they can come and have their input at our city council meetings the second Monday of every month. But on the other hand, it's good to allow them to say, okay, hey, we're behind this. You know, we got 75% of the community wants a new water park or an indoor recreation center or whatever it is, playground, whatever. And it don't have to be recreation. It can be, you know, a fire, police station, whatever. And let's say they get behind that, then you're giving the people a voice to use your money, their money, how they see fit for a particular project. And I think that's good. Now, because a lot of times when communities raise taxes for a need or a want or a combination thereof, the citizens take it, you know, you're going to have to do it. And if they vote on it. So, and that's always a very contentious time right there because no one likes the T word, but unfortunately no one likes the D word either, debt. So sometimes you have to do things that you wouldn't normally do, but this is something that puts it into people's hands, with the people having the most control they could have over a tax issue, and I think that's the most important thing.
I'm just wondering, with this issue, it started out last year, and they started to talk about this. It did fail, but at the same time, there seems like they're talking some more about it, and it seems to be gaining support. And even if it doesn't pass in this legislative session, that at some point in the near future, it will pass because it apparently is gaining some traction.
From what I understand, and that is based on the success it's showing in other states. And by that, you don't always want to do what other states do just to be part of the crowd, but you want to see what's successful, if that will transfer over to what you're trying to do, and if that will work under your circumstances, then you try to do it. And from all indications, I know Jim Host this time last year wrote a great, might have even been in the fall of 2014, but Jim Host, who's ran one of the most successful publishing and communication businesses in the state, and actually he's national and probably some worldwide, but he wrote a great article about that, and he laid it all out and the positives, and he laid out some of the negatives. And so I'm like you. I believe the fact that we're still talking about it, even though it failed, I think that we will continue to talk about it. I see it passing, hopefully this time, but I see it passing within the next two legislatures.
You also had an audit presented of the city's finances from Kelly Galloway over in Ashland, and you got a clean bill of health there. But at the same time, that agency told you that down the road, and this is the same thing for just about all local city and county governments, there are some pension issues looming. What kind of issues perhaps does Morehead face?
Well, the pension issues are just tied right back to the state. And like we talked about, where the state sets these rates of what they think that when you put into a pension, then we had a list of those, the state will take in particular pension and they will put it into an investment. And hopefully that investment will yield a certain percentage of return. Well, that's all speculative. And so they set it around 7.5, I think, 7.25. And from what I've been understanding, we've been getting around 4 back. So there's a gap there. That guess who gets to eat up that 3% gap? The local governments, okay? So unless the state government can pass something to help fund that. Well, right now, and I believe that even the universities even a little bit less than that with what they're in. They talked about it the other night, and the percentages that ours are falling into is right around 50, 60. I think even universities like 25 or 30 with what they're in. So it needs to be addressed on the state level, number one, to help the local level, but also to give guidance, but to show if the state legislature can't fix it, then it's going to be very difficult for the local people to fix it, and it could affect retirements. Right now, I'm paying, for example, or somebody who's paying into it right now as a city employee, they're paying for somebody who's already retired. So hopefully, by the time myself, if I'm there long enough, or for example, people who've been there getting ready to retire for the city, hopefully then by the time they retire, people coming behind them will be able to pay for them. Well, if there's a huge gap in what the rate of return is with what their investments are, that's where it's getting into problems. So that's one thing we're really, really looking at. And we have, fortunately, the cities have KLC, the Kentucky League of Cities, and they've done a great job. They're down there every legislative session. They're down there every day, and they're a big advocate for that. And they're pushing the legislature to make sure this is addressed, not just looked at, but find a fix for it. So that's one of our big issues.
I'm wondering if one of the things they do with the retirement systems is lengthen service time again. They did that with the KTRS. It used to be 27 years, now it's 30, and I could see that being pushed up to 31, and maybe the same thing with the employees' retirement systems.
Well, and you see that with I'm going to give you a personal example. My brother, who works here on campus, he's getting ready for his he still goes on the old system of the 20-year retirement for the hazardous duty. Now new people coming in is 25 years. See, they did it for them. They did it. So that's one way they're trying to fix it, but I think that's just a Band-Aid. I don't think that's a fix. I think it's – from what we understand is they're trying to find a system, and they're just trying to find something that will kind of stop the bleeding, so to speak, or the leaking so that they can fix it. But every time they go through, every time that gap is widened, it becomes even more of a perilous situation. So I don't know what the answer is. I'm not an accountant, but I know that it's something that every city who talks to KLC, and we had our conference in the fall, everybody's concerned statewide.
What other issue you talked about, another financial issue you discussed, and this was brought up by your Parks and Rec Director, David Morris, city and county contributing, I think it's $10,000 a year for the next 10 years to help Rowan County Senior High School put in a turf field on its football field, which could be used for local recreation when the high school doesn't have it for an activity that's it's sponsoring for a particular day. And you know, I was talking with a person about this, and they had suggested, they said, well, why not just go up there if you're going to do that? Why not put maybe an entire recreation park up there near that high school area because there's so much land?
Well, that's a good idea, and trust me, that is something we look at daily. It's where to put in number one, a fire and police station, number two, a recreation area. That's a good idea, but also what people don't realize are the school district has long-term plans for some of that property. Like they're going to build their own baseball field eventually up there. That's the goal. And with the if this comes to fruition on the artificial turf, it'll be multi-purpose. It'll be band and soccer and all this type of thing. So there may be some space to fill up for what we need, the space we need. Looking at the future, the Rowan County School System wanting to build a baseball field up there, there won't quite be enough for us to put all that we need up there. But I look for us in the near future because I think this is a nice starting place, a nice building block of cooperation and collaboration with community partners. I see us maybe doing something up there. One of the things that has been brought up is they would like for the city and the county and the school district to go together, and this is from parents now, would like for us to look at an indoor pool eventually. My father was on the original, worked at the school when the high school was first built 30-some years ago, and that was in the original plan. There was going to be an indoor pool very similar to Ashland Blazers. There was going to be a theater, but of course, when you get, you know how it is, you always have overages and everything. Well, first two things to go was a theater and then the pool.
But they built the theater.
But they built the theater. That was with a large endowment from the Lucille Caudill Foundation. If we could find a large endowment from the Mark Spitz Foundation, for example, to help us with the pool, I'm only joking, of course, but if we had somebody that would want to do that, I'm sure they would want to do that. But that may be something in the future we can contribute to as a community because we come up here and use the MSU's pool. Couldn't do it without Morehead State University. They have a great deal worked out. They work well together. But that's something we would like to do eventually to be able to have, you know, wellness, just recreation and all that for the schools, but something that could also be used by the community. But that's down the road. That's a very expensive project. That an indoor pool sometimes has cost as much as the recreation center itself. It's one of the most expensive to build, maintain, and chemicals and all that. It's a very expensive venture. But the person's right. They're thinking the right way. And that's what we wanted to do with this initial agreement with the county and the school district is to show that we can work together for the community. Now, people say, well, they just got it for the high school. No, it's for the community. It's to help in so many different ways. And I believe it's a building block and the first steps to a lot of collaboration throughout the community for other things.
Again, our guest on the front page is Morehead Mayor Jim Tom Trent. I'm Chuck Morales. We'll go ahead and step away for just a few moments and return after this.
Hi, I'm Dr. Tony Weaver for Health Matters. This week, we welcome UK researcher Dr. Robin Vanderpool back to the show for the Blame It on the Papilloma Again show, an update on her continuing work in promoting HPV vaccine in Eastern Kentucky. Join us this weekend and ask your doctor if Health Matters is right for you.
Tune in to Health Matters Saturday mornings at 10 and Sunday mornings at 6 on Morehead State Public Radio.
Welcome back to today's front page. Again, we're talking with Morehead Mayor Jim Tom Trent about city business. And you touched on a point I was going to ask you about at this point of the show, the police and fire station, that combined public safety complex. And the biggest thing, I guess, still remains finding a location for it. How are you doing on that?
Well, we have literally, we feel like, turned over every stone in the community. We've narrowed down to three sites potentially that we're looking at. Now we're trying to make sure that, number one, when we look at these type of things, when you look at a budget for a project and you're looking at property and to build it and all this, we try to look at it as you don't want to spend more than a third of your budget on the property, so you can leave two-thirds for development and the building of the building. That's just a rough estimate, throwing it out there. So we're trying to find the best bang for our buck for property, number one. How much will it cost us to fix that property pad ready to build on? Are we going to have to tear down buildings? We're going to have to move, dirt. I mean, so all these factors go into it. We've narrowed it down to three. I'm really not at liberty to discuss those because it might affect the price of those. But we feel good about two of them, and the third one can be done. It will be more of a long-term project, but we think two of them could be done, hopefully, within 2 to 3 years. Now, people say 2 to 3 years, that's a long time, but it takes probably a year to get something ready and go all through that, and then it'll take 12 to 18 months to build it. So I'm trying to be, reasonable and trying to be realistic and say 2 to 3 years. So my goal is to try to have that underway and under roof and hopefully being built within the next 2 to 3 years. Hopefully sooner, but hopefully not later than that. And, we've identified some places. We've worked on some plans. We've talked with some builders. We've talked with some architects. We continually talk with the police and fire about it. We know what they want. We've got some ideas. So we're feeling good about it. It's just trying to make sure we, get the right spot. And hopefully we're on track for at least the next few months to maybe make an offer on something.
Have there been any guesstimates as to how much this project could cost?
We're allowing, we would like for the land to be somewhere less than $1 million. We're going to need about 4 to 5 acres max. Probably three and a half would do it, but you want to have some room for expansion because one of our goals in talking to the fire department, and that's something I want to talk about our fire department here in a minute, but one of the goals, we want to make it to where they can have a lot of regional trainings. We have one of the best trained volunteer fire department in the state. For example, and I've said this before, Morehead State University is the only state university that is protected by a volunteer fire department, all-volunteer fire department. St. Clair Medical Center is the only regional hospital that's protected by an all-volunteer fire department. We have roughly 60 active members on our volunteer fire department. There's more members, but 60 active. And when we have a state fire school, like 25 of them go teach. I mean, we're very well, and probably of those 25, 10 or 15 of them work full-time in other bigger cities on the fire. So we've got to take advantage of the resources and the talent we have here. So we want it to be a regional training facility, meaning we want to have our firehouse, but we want to have it big enough for regional training. The police could also use that as well. But one thing we're trying to do and looking into, and this is one thing we think will be more bang for the citizens' buck, is that we're looking into a live-in program. And the live-in program would be we would have 8 to 10 firefighters that would be cadets. They would live in the firehouse. We would not pay them other than the run fees, but we would allow them to have room and board, free room and board, and they would go to school. There's a two-year program at the vocational school through KCTC, and they can get that and then also come to Morehead State. They could actually get a four-year degree in doing that. It's a little-used program because we've not had a live-in program. But in talking to people at KCTC and also at Morehead State University, Chief Anderson has really been a proponent of this. We would like to try that on a year basis to see. And what they would have in return, we would have the cadets give us a year, two-year commitment, whatever we decide. But they actually live there, so it'd take our response time, which is what your ISO, your insurance rating is on your fire. It would take our fire response to a truck, to get on the truck from 5 minutes to less than a minute. I mean, right now we all have to drive in. Our guys have to drive and get on the truck. If you live there, you're on the truck in a minute. And so we feel like that would give us a big advantage of eventually looking at expanding our fire and public safety, whereas some of our surrounding counties have a fire district, which they can actually go to as some sort of a modified pay fireman, but it also really helps you with property values and those type of things. So we're really looking at this seriously. We don't want to just throw up a building. We want it to be a 50-year building. We want it to serve the community but also have a regional training aspect, and we wanted something that the citizens can be proud of and for years know that, you know, we have a great fire department, and we want to be known as a town that has one of the best in the state.
When do you expect, and we've discussed this, and I got the impression, I'll just say this, that the hope is that you may be able to break ground on this project by the end of this year.
My goal is, and council's goal is, if we can do it fiscally responsibly, which is what we always try to do, and do it the right way, which is our number one goal, we would hope to have at least an under contract, a piece of land, and at least starting breaking ground by the end of the year. If we do that, then we're on an 18-month track to get it built. So that would be great. That would be the goal. Now, it could happen quicker. Probably won't, because you know how it is. But if that's our first step. If we can obtain the land, break ground, get our design stuff worked by the end of this year, I think we're really rolling. Then it moves fast. The first part is longest, is doing all that. The building moves faster than what, you know, leading up to it does, it seems like. But council is really behind this. Council to a person is that's their number one priority as well. So I see it with having the confidence of them, it's really good. And I want to go back real quick to talking about the budget real quick. I was very proud, and your wife, Joni, was part of this. She's our former clerk. We every one of our departments came in under budget, which is amazing. But we got a lot of things we needed. They got a lot of things they wanted. We made some big purchases this year. New vehicles. We had a new street sweeper. We've had, you know, we're building a new concession stand. We're doing a lot of things like that. We paved a lot of roads, did a lot of and a lot of these things were in place, wanting, getting ready to happen with former Mayor Perkins, and I salute him for being very fiscally conservative and allowing us to get to this point. But we feel like we're in good shape starting off 2016, and by getting the confidence of your council your first year to show that you are fiscally responsible and you do want to do this, I just want to give my hats off to all my people, that all the department heads and all the different departments who really worked hard and got the most of what we gave them, got the most out of it.
As always, Mayor Trent, thanks so much.
I appreciate it, Chuck. Thank you.
Morehead Mayor Jim Tom Trent on Front Page. I'm your host, Chuck Mraz. We'll see you next time.